Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll check the boxes on the divisional round matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cleveland Browns. Speaking of the Cleveland Browns, let's head to the phone lines right now and be joined by one of the greatest players in their franchise's history. He was a 10-time Pro Bowler, 6-time first-team All-Pro member, 2-time second-team All-Pro member. He was also unanimously placed on the NFL 2010's All-Decade team. He is currently an analyst on NFL Network, and you can catch him on NFL Game Day mornings, which airs Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. on NFL Network. We welcome Joe Thomas onto the show. Joe, appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Joe, you certainly have seen the lows of the Browns organization. What is it like to be a proud member of this organization now?
Well, there's been plenty of lows that I was involved with. We were 1-31 for a couple years there. That's not exactly something I'm proud of, but the team right now, there's a lot to be proud of. The way they're playing, the way they're taking care of their business, the way they're winning with that underdog role. I think it's something that all people in Cleveland feel like, hey, man, this is the team that we should have been having for the last two decades.
Joe, you've certainly seen your share of coaches and quarterbacks come through. What do you think that Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield have done for the attitude of the Browns?
Well, I think they brought a winning attitude. They brought a competitive fire. But I think also they brought a maturity. And I think that's the big thing that Kevin Stefanski has brought to this team. You know, it's a team that's full of a lot of young, talented players. And sometimes young and talented is good. Sometimes it's not so good because it leads to potentially a little bit of immaturity, lack of focus, lack of details. But I think under Kevin Stefanski's tutelage, this team has really shown a professionalism that has been a big reason why right now they're playing the Chiefs in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs.
Joe, keeping it with Stefanski, what does it say about him and the culture that he's created? A lot is made of culture and creating a good culture. Last year, at least from the outside looking in, it didn't seem like everybody in that Cleveland organization was on the same page. This year, it has been a far cry from what we saw last season.
Yeah, I think there's a number of people that deserve credit, but two specifically people that need to get pointed out is Andrew Berry, who's the general manager, and Kevin Stefanski, the head coach. And I think the reason why you're seeing no drama coming out of the building and a really professional approach from this team is because everybody's finally on the same page. You know, when I was there, we had all sorts of head coaches and general managers. I had 9 offensive coordinators myself in 11 seasons. And that was because you always seemed to have a offensive coordinator and a head coach that were at odds. There was always power struggles between the president and the GM and the head coach and the offensive coordinator. And I think when you have that struggle internally within the organization, it leads to a lot of cancer, and you had to get rid of all those guys and start over and find a way to get people that were on the same page. And I think it's safe to say right now the Browns front office all the way down to the players, they're all on the same page, and they all have a common vision and a common direction for what they want this team to be.
When I was watching the game versus Pittsburgh, you know how they put the positions and the players, and they say this guy's ranked number 1, or this guy's ranked number 8, or this guy's ranked number 30. I looked at the offensive line, Joe, and there were a lot of low numbers, which is good in this case. Lots of 1s and 3s and 2s. How good is this offensive line? You're the guy to ask. Is this like an all-time great offensive line?
Well, I think it's the best offensive line in the NFL right now. I mean, you've got Joel Bitonio at left guard, who's an all-pro. You've got Jack Conklin at right tackle, who's an all-pro. Wyatt Teller is an all-pro at right guard. J.C. Treader is a center that maybe not a lot of people know who he is, but he's maybe one of the more underrated centers in the NFL. He's certainly one of the smartest centers in the NFL, which is one of the most important things that your center has. And then Jed Wills, he was one of the guys at left tackle. He was a rookie this season, but he was a guy that I thought deserved to make the Pro Bowl and was snubbed, in my opinion. So you put all those guys together when they're healthy. This is a really good unit, and you can see why they've done such a great job protecting Baker Mayfield, keeping him clean, and allowing him to grow in the process of learning to be a great quarterback with his footwork and his confidence. And they've also been a big reason why the Browns have such a potent rushing attack.
Do you think that Cleveland – do you think the Browns front office, Joe, feels like they're in a position where they have to pay Baker Mayfield since he was the guy that won in the first playoff game in 20 years?
Well, I think the good news is right now, because of the contract situation, they don't have to make that decision. I think they're definitely going to pick up his fifth-year option, which buys him a little bit of time to kind of make that decision. But also, I don't think you want to wait too long, because the track that Baker Mayfield has been on has been steady improvement. And if you wait too long to pay your quarterback, you don't want to be in a situation where now he's nearing free agency and he's going to be paid at the top of the market and probably set a new high bar for quarterbacks above what Patrick Mahomes just got paid. So you want to wait and, you know, be sure about your investment, but you also don't want to wait too long, because Baker Mayfield has shown really good improvement, and he, in my opinion, is definitely the guy that is the long-term answer at quarterback for the Browns.
Right now, we're talking to 10-time Pro Bowler. He is also unanimously on the NFL 2010s All-Decade Team and in the Cleveland Browns Ring of Honor. And with NFL Network right now, Joe Thomas. Joe, the strength of this Browns team is their running game with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Do you think with their offensive line and running game, do you think they can control the style and tempo of this game against Kansas City?
Well, if they want to win, that's what they're going to have to do. I mean, the best way to defend against Patrick Mahomes is to keep him on the bench, because the Browns' secondary has not been great throughout the season. Their pass defense is kind of middle of the pack. But even if it was number one, you're not going to stop Patrick Mahomes. He's that good. He's a generational talent. So they got to run the football, especially when they get into the red zone. I think converting touchdowns instead of settling for field goals is going to be a huge key for the Browns, because those four-point swings are so important when you're playing against such an impressive offense like the Chiefs have. And the good news for the Browns, if you want to look for some bright spots going into this game, and you look at the Chiefs' red zone defense, it's been one of the worst in the NFL this season. So I think, I'm not going to say that they'll definitely win, but I think the matchup definitely is a little bit more in the Browns' favor than most people throughout the league are giving them credit for.
Joe, going up against Kansas City, we know that with Mahomes, Hill, and Kelsey, they're going to put up points. When you look at the Browns, do you think there's like a magic number they need to get to win this game? Do you think Cleveland needs to score 35-40 to win this game, or do you think they could win 24-21?
I'm not sure that 24 wins it, but I think if they get to 30, they can win, because like you mentioned earlier on, I think the strategy for the Browns is going to control the pace and the tempo of the game. They're going to try to run the football a lot. They're going to try to chew up as much clock as they can, because they don't want this to be a high number of possession games. They want to keep the possessions as small as possible, because the more times you give Patrick Mahomes the ball, the more he's going to revert to the long-term mean that he has. And what I mean by that is that he scores a lot of touchdowns when he touches the football, and you want to be able to keep his possessions low so that hopefully you're able to get lucky, get a couple turnovers, and then maybe it's a lower scoring game than 40-43, and you're able to make that last play towards the end of the game that gives you an opportunity to win without letting Patrick Mahomes get one more stab at it.
Chiefs fans have appreciated Joe and watched Myles Garrett from afar, but not really up close, and that includes myself. How good is that dude on the football field?
I've been saying since I played against him when he was a rookie that he was going to be a Hall of Famer, and I don't think he's disappointed so far. He's had a few injury issues, the suspension last year, got COVID for a couple weeks this year, but pretty much when he's out there, he is competing for Defensive Player of the Year. And what makes him so unique is his ability to bend and create power. Like, I think of guys in the NFL that could bend like Miles, and there's only a couple of them, and one of the guys that I think about is Von Miller. But Von Miller doesn't have the power, the strength that Myles Garrett has. And so it's pretty amazing to think that Myles Garrett bends and is quick and has changed of direction as good as anybody in the NFL. But he's also 275 pounds, and he's very, very powerful. He can knock offensive tackles back and threaten them with his bull rush. And so he is extremely dangerous, and I think that's the matchup to watch for Chiefs and Browns fans is Myles Garrett over the Chiefs right tackle since Mitchell Schwartz won't be playing in this game.
What if it gets into a shootout, Joe? What if it gets into a game? I was going to say like the last game the Browns played versus Pittsburgh where it was 48-37, whatever it ended up being. But that we all know that one played out really, really weird. So what if there's a ton of points scored? Do you think Baker Mayfield can go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes? Or do you think that if for whatever reason the Browns get behind in this game, they're just going to keep running the football no matter what?
Well, I think you can't abandon the run game because that's what sets up everything on the Browns' offense. They're a play-action offense, and when they make big plays down the field, it's typically off of those play-action passing concepts. So you can't totally abandon the run, but at the same time, you got to understand that like you're not going to be able to go throw for throw with Patrick Mahomes. But if you're behind, you're going to have to throw a little bit to catch up. So it's kind of a catch-22 where I would say in that situation, let's make sure we don't get behind because we don't want to have to get into that catch-up situation against Patrick Mahomes.
Right now we're talking to Joe Thomas, Browns Ring of Honor, someday going to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Couple last questions here, Joe. We really appreciate your time. The Browns, they have been ravaged with COVID over these last couple of weeks. They get Denzel Ward back, their young corner. Where do you think that Cleveland's defense matches up well against Kansas City's offense?
Well, Kansas City's got the number one offense in the NFL, and there's not a lot of things that they don't do really well. But when you break them down, you say, okay, where can we take some advantage here? They're not a great rushing team, okay, so they're middle of the pack. And they're not great in the red zone. They don't convert as many trips to the red zone into touchdowns as some of the other teams in the NFL or even how you would think. And a lot of that is because they don't run the ball all that well. And usually when you get into the run zone or the red zone, because those windows in the secondary get a lot smaller, you have to rely on the run game a little bit more. So if I'm the Browns, I'm saying do not let Patrick Mahomes score from outside the red zone. Don't let the ball get thrown over your head because that's where most of the damage happens. They are one of the best teams in the NFL at big plays, at those big throws down the field because of their quarterback and because of their outside speed. So for the Browns, the focus on defense is going to be make the Chiefs go the long, hard way with checkdowns and running the football down the field so they get into the red zone because that's where you can kind of take advantage of things a little bit. But if you let Patrick Mahomes throw the ball over your head, it's Katie bar the door, lights out, they don't have a chance.
Joe, what you just said is the perfect segue to our final question. I saw in a couple various publications that you're picking the Browns to upset the Kansas City Chiefs. If Cleveland wins this game, what needs to happen in your mind?
I hope you're not surprised by that, right?
Not at all.
It shouldn't be the shocker here. I think even the year the Browns went 0-16, which I was involved with, I thought we were going to win every game. So, but I would say, hey, if I'm the Browns, what do we need to focus on? One, you got to win the turnover battle because the more possessions that you have is always better. But the more possessions you give Patrick Mahomes, that's a big problem because that dude converts a lot of possessions to touchdowns. So you've got to be able to win the turnover battle, which is going to probably mean zero turnovers for you. You got to be opportunistic with your defense. The second thing is you got to run the ball effectively. You got to play the clock game where you're watching the clock. You're waiting till that play clock gets down close to zero before you snap it almost every time. And then the final key is going to be in the fourth quarter. If it's a close game, because the Chiefs have played some close games, especially down the stretch, do not score and leave any time left on the clock for Patrick Mahomes to get the ball back. I don't care what you have to do. If you're 7 minutes left in the game and you're down three or you're down six, you need to chew up every second of that clock and score when that clock goes to zeros. Because if Patrick Mahomes gets the ball, he's going to score and he's going to win.
Joe, C-Dot's lying to you, by the way, because yesterday he said that it would be one of the biggest ups. I said there's no way in hell that it happens. The Browns can't beat the Chiefs in this game. He said that he thinks it would be one of the biggest upsets of all time in the history of the postseason. So you said you don't think he'd be surprised, and he said, no, I don't. He would be surprised.
No, to be fair,
you'd
Joe.
You'd be surprised,
to
bro.
Be fair,
come
Joe.
On.
I'm not surprised that you think the Browns are going to win. Okay. You are Mr. Brown, okay. So I'm not surprised
my
at
bad.
Least. But now, I don't think Kansas City is going to lose to Cleveland. I'm just not surprised that you, Browns Hall of Famer, going into the Hall of Fame as a Cleveland Brown, I'm not surprised you picked the Browns to win.
you've done a nice job backtracking there. And, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
That is the Hall of the future Hall of Famer, Joe Thomas, joining us on the show today. 10-time Pro Bowler, 6-time first-team All-Pro, 2-time second-team All-Pro, unanimous NFL 2010 All-Decade Team, and just all-around swell guy. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Always an honor to catch up with one of the greatest football players in the history of the league. You can catch him on NFL Game Day Morning. It airs on Saturday at 11 a.m. Central and Sunday at 10 a.m. Central to get you ready for the postseason. Thought you was going to catch the big dog out here slipping. You knew what I was saying.
No, actually, I didn't. I knew what you were saying. I just wanted you to say it to Joe Thomas.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that he's picking. Like, I was really thinking about this when it was locked in that he was coming on. Like, he's probably the second best player in that organization's history. I know they haven't had a great long history, but some people think that Jim Brown's the greatest football player of all time. Like, there are a lot of people that believe that to be the case. Joe Thomas is probably second in that organization. Like, we got Will Shields coming on later. Like, Joe Thomas probably did a little bit more than Will Shields. And Will Shields probably a top, 150 football player in the history of, like, Joe Thomas was incredible for a decade for that organization.
Yeah, I mean, their team Hall of Fame looks a little bit like the Royals team Hall of Fame before everybody from the 2014-2015 team eventually gets in. If you're talking about, you know, Joe Thomas, who's third? Who's the third best Cleveland Brown of all time? Like, it's not really the who's who exactly when it comes to professional organizations.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll check the boxes on Sunday's divisional game between the Chiefs and the Browns. But so Joe Thomas certainly makes sense while he's picking the Cleveland Browns. He is in the Browns Ring of Honor. He is going to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame as Mr. Brown. You guys also won't be surprised at another person who picked Cleveland to win.
I'm feeling special today, as in upset special. I just feel like the Browns have been heading north. And I'm not saying Kansas City's heading south, but they're just sort of stuck in no man's land right now. And Patrick Mahomes hasn't played a down of football for 3 weeks, mm-hmm. coming off, you could argue, the worst stretch of his career, mm-hmm. because he's been average over his last 7 games. He ranked 9th best in Pro Football Focus's rankings over his last 7 starts. It's not that guy. That's not the best quarterback in football.
Skip Bayless of Fox Sports 1 today on Undisputed. He said he was feeling special. And in feeling special, he picked the Cleveland Browns to upset the Kansas City Chiefs in Sunday's divisional round matchup game. I just want to point out that out of the – so he said the last 7 games Mahomes hasn't played really well. Is that what he said? He said 7 or 6. I just want to be sure.
7.
Out of the last 7 games, Patrick Mahomes has completed 68.5% of his passes. He has thrown 20 touchdown passes over his last 7 games and 4 interceptions. So if that's not playing well over a 7-game stretch, more quarterbacks in the NFL should struggle the way that Patrick Mahomes has struggled the last 7 games for the Kansas City Chiefs.
To be fair, not a lot of sane people are picking the Cleveland Browns. I mean, honestly, how many outsiders besides Skip Bayless, who is kind of known to try to be a hair trigger type guy, Joe Thomas, who, like you said, is probably the person that's most associated with the Cleveland Browns, probably some high school kid in his mom's basement pulling gravity bong that's high right now that's like, nah, I think Cleveland's going to win this game, bro. But how many other people have you really heard predict? Because the reasons that they give you, not only do they not make a lot of sense, they're not even factually correct. Like with Skip Bayless saying, the Chiefs feel stuck, they're not going down. How can you say the Chiefs aren't heading anywhere but up? And I'm talking about after winning the Super Bowl. Forget about the last time we saw them on the field because they weren't, and there wasn't a lot to play for in that Atlanta game. And forget that the Chargers game because they weren't on the field. Take every game before that. I don't care if it was close, a blowout, they let the team come back. The common denominator is they won 23 out of 24 games. You know how many teams in the history of this sport at any point have ever won 23 out of 24 games? It's happened 3 other times. So to say that they're stuck and not they're hot, this team is so hot right now that people just don't want to give them credit because they've gotten used to it. It's ridiculous.
Coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll be joined by a Hall of Famer, Will Shields, will be on the show coming up at 4 o'clock. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll talk about how things have changed because of one person and his arrival in Kansas City. But before we do that, Rob, let's check the boxes.
Offense, defense, special teams. Where do the Chiefs have the edge? Let's check the boxes on The Drive.
Well, we begin check the box with the Chiefs passing attack against the Browns passing D, and not a surprise at all, but the Chiefs passing offense is the best in the NFL. They average 303 yards per game and have racked up 40 touchdown passes this season. Meanwhile, the Browns passing defense is 22nd in the NFL, giving up 247 per, but they do have 38 sacks this season, albeit they will be playing on Sunday without their second best pass rusher, Olivier Vernon. Sean, check the boxes.
Yeah, there's no question. They can get to the quarterback. They got some guys with Larry Okunjobi and Myles Garrett in the secondary. Denzel Ward looks like he's healthy. Look, this is a semi-talented defense that at times this year has played up and down. You know what that sounds like? Our defense, the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm going to check this one for Kansas City because Kansas City has Patrick Mahomes and their defense, last check, does not. Although it does feel like one of those games to me where Patrick having a fresh arm, having the rest, last time we saw him hasn't been great. You heard Skip Bayless hasn't been all-world Patrick Mahomes in the last 2 months. Everything points to me, C-Dot, toward like 380 yards, four touchdowns, absolutely huge game. So I'm busting out that Sharpie that you have, and I'm checking this one for the Chiefs.
I'm not going to waste you guys' time and just talk for the next minute or so. Come on now.
Sorry, I just did that. We move on.
Right, come on.
We'll
now.
Move on to the
right.
Chiefs.
We know.
We'll move on to the Chiefs rushing attack against the Browns rushing D. The Chiefs rushing attack is dead center in the National Football League this year at 16th, getting 112 per game. Meanwhile, the Browns rushing defense is pretty good. They're 9th in the NFL, only giving up 110 on the ground per game. Sean, check the boxes.
I'm going to check this one for Cleveland only because I don't think that the Chiefs are really going to put a huge emphasis on having success running the football. I know that sounds crazy, but I don't think the Chiefs care if they get a guy that averages 5 yards per carry, if they get a guy that ends up in the end zone a couple of times out of the backfield. I think they know where their bread is buttered, and that's throwing the football. That's Travis Kelce. That's Tyreek Hill. That's whoever option number three ends up being. We know who it's not going to be, Sammy Watkins. So I'm going to check this one for the Cleveland Browns, but I don't feel super strong about it.
I actually think this is a push. I think Kansas City is going to be able to run the ball effectively by Kansas City Chiefs standards. Would I be shocked?
Who's going to run the football?
Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Patrick Mahomes,
okay.
Le'Veon Bell. I think they're going to be able to run the football. I don't think they're going to run for a great day. But if you're telling me Kansas City runs the ball 19 times, gets 85 yards rushing, that makes a lot of sense to me. I would say that's what Kansas City wants to be when it comes to running the football. We all know what this team is. We all know what butters this team's bread. It is being a high-volume passing attack. If Mahomes had played the last game of the season, they would have thrown more passes than any team in the NFL this season. So we know how this team is going to move the football. I think their run game is going to be effective. I think it's going to complement the passing game. I don't think they're going to be overly one-dimensional. So I can't really give the Browns defense the advantage in that. I'll call it a push on both sides.
Well, we'll flip to the other side of the ball, and we'll start with the Browns passing attack against the Chiefs passing D. Now, the Browns passing attack is not their strength. They're 24th in the NFL, only getting 221 in the air weekly. However, their O-line is exceptional, as they are top 10 in the NFL with sacks conceded. Meanwhile, the Chiefs passing defense is 14th in the NFL, giving up 263 per game. And I found this stat interesting. The Chiefs are tied for second in the NFL with 16 interceptions. Sean, check the boxes.
Well, they don't have CDOT's favorite player, who happens to be the most overrated player in the NFL, and Odell Beckham. I think his days with the Browns are probably done. So they're throwing out Jarvis Landry, who I don't want to talk too much smack on. I loved him on Hard Knocks. Remember him? Blast him. Blast him. Blast him. The other guys are Rashard Higgins and Donovan Peoples-Jones and whoever Marvin Hall is and Alexander Hollins, and their tight end is Austin Hooper. You're right, Rob, about their offensive line. Their offensive line's really good, but if we're talking about throwing the football, Baker Mayfield to those dudes, I'm checking that box for the Chiefs.
I'm going to check this box slightly for the Chiefs. I do think Cleveland's going to have some success in the air. I don't think it's going to be enough. I also think that Kansas City is going to be able to really load the box and really play the run and trust Snead one-on-one against the options on the outside. Trust Breeland on the outside against the options, and they can focus a lot more of their resources on stopping the run and kind of stuffing the box. I think the Chiefs are going to do something very similar defensively that we saw the Ravens do against Tennessee in their wild card matchup last weekend. I'm going to side with the Chiefs on this one.
Our final box to check is the Browns rushing attack against the Chiefs rushing D. Now, the Browns rushing attack is very good. It's where they shine. Led by Chubb and Hunt, they are third in the National Football League, getting 148 per game on the ground. Meanwhile, the Chiefs rush defense, while better than it was earlier in the season, is still not great. It's 21st in the NFL. They give up 122 per game on the ground. Sean, check the boxes.
I mean, if my guy C-Dot's not about wasting your time, I'm not about wasting your time, so you know where I'm going with this one.
I'm going to give it slightly to Cleveland, but I'm not putting it in Sharpie. We know that Cleveland's going to run the football effectively. It's not in question. It's how effectively are they going to run the football. Last year in the Super Bowl, we checked the boxes for San Francisco. There was no reason to check it for Kansas City when it came to stopping the run. But in that game, San Francisco ran the ball for 144 yards. If you're the Chiefs, you take that right now. I will sign up right now for Cleveland only running the ball for 144 yards.
Tell the whole story. How many yards per carry did they have? Because, again, I don't think that matters, though. It does matter because San Francisco stopped. I don't know why you don't understand this. I think the only way that – I'm not saying that they're going to win if they do this. The only way Cleveland wins is if they continuously run the football. That's why – who was it that pointed out how Tennessee beat them last year? Not in the playoffs, but obviously when they beat them in the regular season. It was because they kept doing it. And I understand that's uncomfortable. If Patrick Mahomes has a 14-point lead against you, your natural instinct is to throw your way back because in the history of the NFL, that's what 99.9% of the teams do. But if you're Cleveland and that's not your strength and your overriding strength is your running game, I just think that the Chiefs, the only way that Cleveland hangs around in this game or in some crazy alternative universe wins this game is if they run the ball, run it, and run it again. The less amount of throws that Baker Mayfield has, I think that's proper English, is best case scenario for the Cleveland Browns.
I just also don't think that the Derrick Henry Chiefs defense that they went up against, like, I just don't think that's going to happen. Like in that game you're talking about, Derrick Henry had 23 carries for 188 yards. When you factor in the rest of the team, they carried it for 211 yards. I just don't think Cleveland's going to run the football that effectively in this game. Like I just don't. I don't really think there's any – I don't think there's one stat based on the Chiefs we've seen over the last season and a half to think that they're going to get gashed on the run. I could be wrong. This could certainly be the game in which that happens. But the Chiefs' run defense has been a lot better than people have given credit. It hasn't been great by any means, but it has not been gashed by any running back in the NFL these last season and a half. I'll give the advantage to the Browns. I think they're going to be able to run the football effectively. I wouldn't put it in Sharpie. Like, I don't think it is Kansas City's passing attack against the secondary of the Browns, put it in Sharpie. I know Kansas City is going to, and I think they're going to be super effective. Like, yeah. I think Mahomes could throw for 350 yards. I don't feel that way about the Cleveland running attack against the Chiefs defense. I'll put it in pencil. I think they have the advantage. They're top three unit in the NFL. I don't think they're going to run the ball for more than 170 yards, though.
Kind of like, remember earlier this year when they played the Raiders the first time, the one game that the actual Chiefs lost this year, and the Raiders had a bunch of big plays. Again, I don't think that they found some sort of method or blueprint to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I just think that it was a perfect case scenario where Kansas City didn't play great. Pat played a couple of bad quarters. Derek Carr played his best game. But those big plays, see, that heading into it was one thing that I remember saying a bunch. I'm not worried about it. You know why? Because I haven't seen it. Before that game, the Chiefs hadn't gave up huge plays, 50-plus yard plays, 70-yard plays in a year, 2 years, since Andy's been here. It just didn't happen. And then it did. So that's why I'm not just going to say, well, it's been so long that the Chiefs haven't got gashed on the ground that it can't happen this game. To me, this is the best rushing attack they've faced in a hell of a long time.
Coming up next, we'll talk about how since Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have gotten here, and more specifically since last season, the entire tenor around home Chiefs playoff games has absolutely changed. Keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back to The Drive.
Right hand on the ball, snaps it back to the waist of Mahomes. Retreating into the pocket, Marlon Humphrey on a blitz. Deep throw down the middle, Hardman wide open, touchdown! Kansas City, a 49-yard bomb!
On the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
You are listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll be joined by one of the greatest players in Chiefs history. Will Shields will be on the show coming up in about 30 minutes. Speaking of Will Shields, he certainly has seen his fair share of playoff disappointments with the Kansas City Chiefs. Basically, if you've been following this team for, you know, longer than the last 3 years, all you knew was playoff disappointment. All you knew was Team X, whether it's Pittsburgh or Indianapolis or Baltimore or various AFC team, was going to come into Arrowhead. You were going to hype yourself all up and talk yourself into Kansas City finding a way to win. And then the exact opposite will happen, and they would find a way to lose the game. But you know what? Two people have come in and changed all that. One Andy Reid and one Patrick Mahomes. It is wild, as three people who have grew up in Kansas City their entire lives, to see the shift from expecting the Chiefs to lose home playoff games to now not being able to really find a scenario in which they lose a home playoff game. Talk about a complete 180 when really breaking down and evaluating this team.
It is kind of weird. Like, when you think about anything in life, when it's bad, you're always hoping that it gets good or at least gets better. But you never really let yourself dream. At least I didn't. I never let myself dream like this. I never thought in a million years that my team, the team that I've followed, the heartache that I've suffered, all the Lynn Elliott and the Andrew Luck and all those playoff losses, the Marcus Mariota pass to himself, and you can even go back in the day. There's been just so many of these things that when the going got good, it was going to get like this. I mean, think about this, man. Arrowhead Stadium, the great Arrowhead Stadium, one of the best home field advantages in the league when that place is cooking, had never been host to an AFC championship game. And then Patrick Mahomes got here. And now if the Chiefs win on Sunday, the Chiefs are going to host their third straight AFC championship game. Home or road, they had only been to one of those things in my lifetime. And now, with a win, they're going to make it three straight. Let me take it a step further. In the history of the NFL, no team has ever hosted the AFC championship game three straight times. Not the Buffalo Bills when they were going to four straight Super Bowls. Not the New England Patriots with Tom Brady when they were going every other year. Nobody's ever done it. The only coach that's ever hosted three straight championship games happens to be, wait for it, Andy Reid back in the day in Philly. So there's just a lot of things that happen. Not only do you advance in the postseason with this win, but you keep adding feathers in your cap.
We were talking about this at the lead, and sometimes we make sports a little bit more complicated than it needs to be. And I understand why we do that, but it makes perfect sense why Kansas City's having great playoff success now. If we went back and we looked at their playoff losses in the 90s and the 2000s and looked at just two simple things, who was the coach of both teams, who was the quarterback of both teams, it would explain how the Chiefs lost so many playoff games. Rarely in those scenarios did they have the coach and quarterback advantage. And in the playoff game that they won before Patrick Mahomes got here, guess what they had? The coach and quarterback advantage. They had Bill O'Brien going up against Andy Reid, and they had Alex Smith going up against Brian Hoyer. Huh. You check the boxes in both of those, shockingly, you won the game. Then the next week, when the other team had Belichick and Brady, you lost that playoff game. Huh. Now, very simple. In a playoff game, one side has Andy Reid. One side has Kevin Stefanski. I think Stefanski's a good coach. I think he has a very promising future in the NFL. I got to see a lot more before I put you on the same level as Andy Reid. You have Patrick Mahomes, who I think right now, if Patrick Mahomes decided I don't want to play football anymore, I would advocate for Mahomes to go to the Hall of Fame because he's been that good in comparison to his peers and in comparison to other NFL quarterbacks across any era. The other one you got, Baker Mayfield, never made an All-Pro team. Never been to a Pro Bowl, never thrown 4,000 yards in a season, never thrown 30 touchdowns in a season. This is simple. One team is much better at coach, one team's much better at quarterback, and that's the biggest reason why they're 10-point favorites today.
I actually think that that matters so much more than we've been talking about. We spent a lot of time talking about Patrick Mahomes versus Baker Mayfield, and that's really obvious. The Chiefs had the advantage there. Hell, we spent a lot of time talking about the Cleveland offensive line versus the Chiefs patchwork offensive line. Cleveland gets that check mark. Talk about the Chiefs running game. Is it going to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Is it going to be Le'Veon Bell? And then you look at what Cleveland has, and they got a couple of dudes. We'll give Cleveland the box there. It's pretty obvious where the strengths and the weaknesses are for each team. I think outside of quarterback, even like the advantage the Chiefs have at tight end, and there's no question Austin Hooper can't hold a candle to Travis Kelce. I think the second biggest advantage the Chiefs have going for this them in this game, outside of Patrick Mahomes over Baker Mayfield, is like you mentioned, Andy Reid over Kevin Stefanski, who a couple of weeks ago, I wasn't sure if it was Stefanski or Stepanski, and this is his first crack at being a head coach in the NFL, and it took, I'm not going to say that Pittsburgh quit or gave up the last game of the season, but their starters weren't on the field. They already had a playoff spot locked up for Cleveland to back in the playoffs. I'm not trying to poo-poo what this guy did. And I think being able to, I don't know if he's going to turn around. I don't know if he's going to end up the next Sean McVay or something like that. But being able to do what nobody's done in 20 years is pretty impressive. We talk about all the different quarterbacks that Cleveland's had. Man, they've had just as many head coaches. They've had 9 head coaches since the year 2000. Also, it's been a revolving door. So the fact that this guy was able to go out there and win a playoff game in his first year or take his team to the playoffs, he wasn't there because of COVID, but be the guy that's the reason why Cleveland got back to the playoffs. Let's not pretend like his resume is anywhere near our guy Andy Reid.
No, not even close. And I think Stefanski, just this is the beginning of the resume. I mean, Kevin Stefanski is 38 years old. You're not going to have the resume that Andy Reid now has at this point.
Reid probably ran into a couple of these games early on when he was like second, third year as a head coach, and he was going up against, I don't know, Tom Landry, whoever the hell it was at the time.
Yeah, and he lost those games.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And then it took time in developing your roster and continuing to build camaraderie and building a community in your organization to find it. Like, Stefanski might be the Andy Reid of this era. He did a fantastic job last year with Kirk Cousins. They won a playoff game. He was the offensive coordinator. He parlayed that into getting a head coaching job. Baker Mayfield's playing the best football of his career, and he's got this team in the playoff and winning a game. Like, I give Kevin Stefanski a lot of credit. But this is somebody who was at the apex of their career and somebody who was starting their career and trying to build where they are. So I don't say this with any disrespect toward Kevin Stefanski. I think he's one of the better head coaches in the NFL. It just takes time. Like, we talk a lot about how if you're an athlete or a team, you sort of hit your head or you hit your ceiling against a team that's just further along in the process than you are. Kansas City's just further along in the process right now than Cleveland. Cleveland's trying to be what Kansas City is. They have a good quarterback, at least they feel that way, some good offensive parts. You still got to develop your defense. You still got to continue to develop your head coach. You still got to do those things. And maybe Cleveland gets there. But that's not where they are right now. That's where Kansas City is. They're the finished product. Cleveland's maybe 2 years away potentially from being that product. So you just lose to this team.
As much as it's the beginning of the run for Stefanski, and I agree with you, and probably the end of the road this year, I would say it's also the beginning of Andy Reid's coaching legacy, where now he's playing with house money. In the past, it was, oh man, can he get to the big game? Then he got to the big game. Can he win the big game? Well, now he's won the big game. And now I think it's, how many of these things can he win? How many rings can he end up with? Does he end up riding off into the sunset eventually? And does he go down on the Mount Rushmore of head coaches? And I'm talking about the big boys. I'm talking about the Lambeaus and the Landrys and the Shulas and the Belichicks. Now's the time when he can separate himself, because truth be told, right now, let's say Andy retired. Let's say the Chiefs lose on Sunday and Andy retires. All right, not going to happen, but for the sake of this conversation, then can you really put his name that far ahead of Mike Tomlin, who's been to a couple of Super Bowls and won them, or Pete Carroll, who's been to a couple of Super Bowls and won one, or Sean Payton, who's won one, all these guys in the same generation? Now is the time for Andy to start cashing in, collecting rings, and build his own legacy, because he's probably got at most 5, 6, 8 years left of this thing. If he gets a couple of more rings, then we talk about him in the all-time context.
Coming up next, a lot of people are calling this the John Dorsey Bowl, but that's not what we're calling it on the drive. Stick around, we'll tell you. On 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on the Drive on 610 Sports Radio. 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by one of the greatest players in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs organization. Will Shields will be on the show coming up at the top of the hour.
Husenheimer, Watsonheimer, Schottenheimer, Polka. Anybody that's like my age remembers this. When the Chiefs made, I don't know, one of their playoff runs, this became wildly popular.
Except one of their playoff runs, like they had a whole bunch of them during this time frame. Probably ain't that hard to figure out which one it is. They didn't have that many in the
90s. Well, they were constantly in the playoffs.
No, they were normally in the playoffs, but you know, to go on a run, you got to win a playoff game.
Touche.
You know I mean? Cleveland is on a playoff run.
It wasn't the AFC title game run. It was the one run. Looking it up, it came out that year.
Yeah, see, the time they made their run. Rob, did you say that you had this on cassette tape?
I did. As a kid, I got this on cassette.
Good for you. So Marty Schottenheimer coached both these teams.
The '90s might have been trash.
What are you talking about?
We
just learned 94 Fire last week.
You literally just said that 1994 was the best year for movies ever.
I never heard this until just now. Now that I'm hearing this was in the '90s, I'm about face.
All right. Well,
might have been trash.
I heard you on a backup rap vocals earlier today. We can talk about that later on if you want to talk about trash music.
I never was on that song. The use of my voice was not authorized by me.
I heard you on there.
That's not what happened, though. Our boss came in, and Rob was there. He handed me a sheet of paper and said, read these names. And I was like, all right.
Baker Mayfield, Tyrod Taylor, Deshaun Kaiser. Can't be all. Kevin Hogan, Cody Kessler. Give me more. RG3.
Yo, this is what we pass as a rap here at 610.
Austin Davis.
What is happening?
I was not on that, bro.
I hear you.
I'm telling you the story of what happened.
Okay.
Our boss came into the office and handed me a sheet of Browns quarterbacks and said, can you read this as a promo? And I said, of course, because that's my job. When the boss tells me I got to read something for a promo, I can't really say, no, I don't want to do it.
I understand.
So then I read the promo and I didn't really think anything of it. I figured it was running because we were talking like Browns playoff coverage. And then today when I get on the Twitter machine, I then see Cody Tapp featuring at C.Harrison in a rap. And I'm thinking it's just going to be like something I've said over the course of the show. I didn't think they were going to use me following the direction of my employer to now unauthorized use my voice in a song. I didn't approve that. I wouldn't. If he had told me that's what it would have been, I'd have been like, nah, I'm good.
I mean, I've taken your hip-hop advice as gospel. For somebody that's seen Drake 18 times and quotes Jay-Z every other show, that's what you got? Those are your backup vocals? My goodness.
I was not providing any backup vocals. I was simply reading the paper.
I feel like every time.
I wasn't even rhythmically reading the paper. I was just reading the paper.
Yeah, every time.
John Dorsey, Brett Veach, Tyreek Hill. That's all he told me to do. And next thing I know, now you put it in Astro World. That's not what I signed up for. Wasn't the whole point of what I was doing.
Okay. If you were identified, I think that Speck's trying to make you look like a jackass is what's going on here.
I'm happy to be a team player for the station.
Yeah, but Cody's raps are so bad that there's no reason for you to jump in on him. If it was fresh, like remember the time that Heist got, who did you get to do some vocals on your guys' show?
Mac Lethal.
Yeah. If you want to jump on the back of like a Mac Lethal rap, that's pretty cool. Why would you attach your name in any form or fashion to Cody Tapp rapping, which by the way, I don't know what quantifies as a rap because that's not. There's no rhythm, there's no rhyming, there's no nothing. That's just awful is what it is. Anyway, can we get back to Marty Schottenheimer? You got any more Marty Schottenheimer polka for me? Because I'm not going to deal with this 1990s disrespect. Marty Schottenheimer, before coming to Kansas City, his time in Cleveland, was 71-44 with the Cleveland Browns. Think about that. 71-44 is good anywhere, let alone with the Cleveland Browns. Ah, now I see that's bobbing his head a little bit. You can turn it up a little bit, Rob. Yeah, you're feeling the beat a little bit, aren't you? You realize that this is what good music sounds like, not that crap that you and Cody put on me this morning.
I hate to interrupt this song, but we have some breaking news.
Oh, really?
The Falcons are going to name Arthur Smith as the next head coach for the Atlanta Falcons, so another job is off the board for Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, we knew that was going to happen. So now that job's gone, and what's left? The Lions' job? The Lions' job? The Eagles' job?
Lions, Eagles, Texans.
Chargers.
Yeah, it's not looking great. And then in Marty Schottenheimer's career here in Kansas City, of course, he went 160-101. Let me tell you a couple of reasons.
Ain't we talking about teams trying to win the Super Bowl? Why are we spending time today talking about Marty Schottenheimer?
Because we spent time talking about John Dorsey, and we called it the Dorsey Bowl. As much as it's a Dorsey Bowl, how about you give a little bit of respect to the great Marty Schottenheimer? If you're a kid like my age, right, if you're in your 30s, you had a run-in at some point with Marty Schottenheimer in your youth. Two people in Kansas City sports history we've all met. If you're under the age of 40, at some point you pull up next to him at Quick Trip or First Watch or something. George Brett. Everybody listening right now at some point had a run-in with George Brett. And Marty Schottenheimer, a man of the people. Not only that, but how much he hated the Raiders. His disdain for the Raiders, I think most of the time, C.Dot.
What are we doing?
This is Marty Schottenheimer we're talking about.
Are we doing postseason coverage? Because last time I checked, this is Browns game week playoff coverage brought to you by Rainer Garage Door. You want to know what Marty Schottenheimer was in the postseason? You want to know what his record was in the postseason?
I will not let you disrespect Marty Schottenheimer.
I was telling you his stats, disrespecting the guy.
Go ahead.
5-13. We're spending time today talking about a guy who was 5-13 in the postseason. What are we doing?
If we're gonna
5-13.
If we're gonna spend 30 minutes talking about John Dorsey, who got fired by both of these teams in the last 5 years, then we're gonna talk about the greatest coach in the history of the Cleveland Browns.
John Dorsey helped contribute to the 2020-21 Kansas City Chiefs. He's the biggest reason that Tyreek Hill is here. Travis Kelce is here. Patrick Mahomes is here. Marty Schottenheimer. This would be cool if it was week 7 and they were playing the Raiders. But we're talking about postseason excellence here.
Okay, then you know what, Rob?
Patrick Mahomes might have more Super Bowl wins than Marty Schottenheimer have playoff wins.
No, that's cool. Why are we talking about this man today? Play the Andy Reid polka. Oh, you don't have any? Can you play the Dick Vermeil polka? You got any Gunther Cunningham polka over there? No? How about Todd Haley? Play the Herm Edwards polka if you got that over there, Rob. Real quick, just fire it up. No, but guess what there is? The former coach of the Cleveland Browns and Kansas City Chiefs, the great Marty Schottenheimer. Put some respect on that man.
I don't have any disrespect for Marty Schottenheimer.
Let me get back to current day now. I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes talking about the great Marty Schottenheimer.
He's a great coach. I want to talk about the playoffs.
I do too.
Playoffs? That's what I want to talk about.
I do too.
I want to talk about the playoffs.
I just needed 2 minutes to get that off my chest.
And I'm just trying to wonder why we're talking about a guy who was 5-13 in the playoffs in our playoff coverage, is what I'm trying to figure. That's all I'm trying to figure out, man.
Marty's name will not come up the rest of the show.
Andy Reid has more playoff losses than Marty Schottenheimer. There's your fun fact of the day.
I believe it.
15-14 for Reid.
Okay, well. He also has been in the AFC or NFC championship game 6 times. Andy Reid has just won 5 playoff games. That's not a game you want to play with the great Andrew Howard Reid.
Are you sure it's Howard? You made that up. That's his name?
It's not a game you want to play.
I mean, he looks like an Andrew Howard Reid. I don't want to second guess it, but I bet you're making it up.
I can't believe that we spent it. You know what? I want to apologize to all of you guys today.
No, everybody love that. People driving around and took them playoff nostalgia.
Andrew Walter Reed.
I can look at C-Dot and tell when he's just saying something right off the cuff. Although he looks like a Howard.
Actually, you know what? I found the Andy Reid polka.
No, you didn't. Doesn't exist.
Third and 15 for the Chiefs from their own 35. And San Francisco leading by 10. 7:13 to go in the game.
This is during the Super Bowl. Marty Schottenheimer wouldn't know anything about this.
Don't disrespect Marty Schottenheimer.
Here they come. Mahomes stepping up. He's throwing long downfield for Tyreek Hill. Got it at the 20-yard line. And then spun down there. The first giant chunk of the game.
I know this is crazy. I know. Listen to this. I know we got to talk to Will Shields coming. I know this is wild. In order to go to the Super Bowl, guess what you got to do? It's crazy what you got to do. You got to win multiple playoff games to go to the Super Bowl. I know. I can't believe they set it up like this. In order to go to the Super Bowl and play for the championship, you got to win multiple playoff games. This might come as a shock to you guys. That didn't happen a whole lot when Marty Schottenheimer was your head coach. It didn't happen a whole lot. So, yo, I salute Marty Schottenheimer. You gave us a lot of great memories with Chiefs and Chopper. You gave us this polka. Rob had it on cassette tape. We're doing playoff coverage. We're doing championship coverage. Marty shouldn't be coming up right now. If we're doing regular season coverage, talk Marty all the time. All the Marty stories in the world. Marty, Marty, Marty. But we're talking about playoff football here.
Dog, if you're going to make me listen to you rapping and try to say, oh, I know I was on the background, nobody told me. Bottom line is, you're on the Cody Tapp rap. Like it or not, it's awful. Fine, text line. Tell us. Jay Southland Tow Service text line. You can listen to one thing the rest of your life. The Schottenheimer polka or Carrington in the background on Cody's rap.
I mean, I would pick the Schottenheimer polka. That don't mean that I want to listen to it today when we're talking playoffs.
Playoffs?
Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk to somebody who played in the playoffs. One of the greatest players in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs, Will Shields, will be on the show coming up next. Don't turn that dial, Mr. Drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.